Welcome in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580, brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com, past archive programs, lots of important information right there at the website, veritasmedical.com. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, with You're the Cure right here on the show. And along the way, if you have any questions whatsoever, feel free to call or text. You can certainly do so throughout the program. 806-745-5800. That's 806-745-5800 right here on today's broadcast. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards.
Good morning.
And Morley is with us. It's first Monday with Morley.
Mm-hmm. We need a special theme song, I think.
Yeah.
It'll be a Marty Robbins theme song.
Yeah, we knew Big Iron something. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll do that.
Well, we've got a lot to cover. I know we started a little late, but don't worry, we'll
carry over. Yeah. We can carry over. Everything kind of got backed up a little bit.
No, we got plenty to talk about today.
Absolutely.
And I thought it'd be appropriate to start with, my father-in-law sent me a little verse this morning from Scripture. It says, "From now on, be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and their cunningness and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." So thanks, father-in-law. And then I was reading separately at another place in the Scriptures this morning. It says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and frustrate the intelligence of the intelligent. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And it just got me to thinking about this world's wisdom, and that's in quotation marks there, that we see all around me, which I don't see a whole lot because I don't watch the news. And I've told my patients, and I think our audience, just turn that news way down or all the way off.
Yeah,
and I followed that advice. But a little bit of news I get here and there, and I see that Buffalo Springs Lake is shutting down because too many people came to the beach this weekend, and Costco is forcing everyone, as of today, to wear a mask. You see the 6 feet distancing everywhere in this whole quarantining of the healthy, and people really need to focus on this quarantining of the healthy.
It's ridiculous.
What's that based in? That's man's wisdom. It's not based in common sense, and it's not based in science. You quarantine the sick, not the healthy. It's the young people who aren't being affected at all. And I had the occasion to interact with a young person outside my family this weekend, and he used to work at Market Street, and he had to stop working there because his parents are scared to get the coronavirus. The young people aren't being affected. It's the young and healthy people that need to get this virus so we can all have the immunity. I mean, we're doing things completely backwards, not like we've ever done before. It makes no sense at all from a scientific or common sense perspective, and I hate to even bring the science in because science is so corrupted, which is another big highlight of the past 2 months of what I'm learning the more I dig into who's funding the WHO. Because the WHO, the World Health Organization, used to focus on the terrain. They used to go to Africa and other places and focus on clean water, sanitation, nutrition, mosquito nets. They would focus on the terrain. And now they've flipped. Coincidentally, they are funded now. Number two funders, Bill Gates, if not number one, now that the U.S. isn't funding. And that's, so now they're all about vaccines. And I'm not going to get into that today, but too much. That's another one of man's wisdom. But I do just want to point out a couple quick things about man's wisdom. We're told to wear a mask. All healthy people wear a mask. All of us have to wear a mask. If you want to go into Costco, you got to wear a mask. So I've said it, I think, on the show already. We have a mask already. It's called your nose and the cilia and the mucus and all the cilia that line your airway, and it works beautifully. And then there's a million troops, Border Patrol agents, lining the inside of your airway if something happens to get through those first lines of defenses. It's an amazing system. So what if we alter that somehow? What if we put in man's wisdom something over the top of that God-given mask?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a study from 2008, the American Journal of Infection Control, and it looked at these masks. Do they work on these viruses that are so tiny? And here's a conclusion. And the title of the study is Surgical Mask Filter and Fit Performance. Conclusion: none of these surgical masks exhibited the adequate filter performance and facial fit characteristics to be considered a respiratory protective device. Man's wisdom. That was 2008 study. Let's go on to a current study, April 6, 2020, out of China. They decided to take four patients that were positive for COVID-19, put them in a negative pressure room, put a surgical mask on two of them, put a cotton mask on the other two, have them cough five times, and swab the inside and outside of that mask. COVID-19 was on the outside of that mask at a higher rate than the inside of the mask, actually. Very interesting. And the final study in regards to a mask, and this was from the British Medical Journal, September of 2014. A cluster randomized trial of cloth mask compared with medical mask and healthcare workers. So they were just trying to determine is cloth or surgical mask better. Turns out neither one worked. But more importantly, the unintended consequence, they also noted in this study, cloth and surgical mask increase the risk of acquiring non-influenza viruses, aka COVID. Increase the risk. This was, again, let me quote that British Medical Journal, September 2014. Okay, so what about this 6 feet apart and quarantine the healthy instead of quarantine just the sick? Professor Yitzhak Ben-Israel in Tel Aviv University published a study a couple weeks ago. Irrespective of whether the country quarantined like Israel or went about business as usual like Sweden, coronavirus peaked and subsided in the exact same way. His graph showed that all countries experienced seemingly identical coronavirus infection patterns, with the number of infected people peaking in the 6th week and rapidly subsiding by the 8th week. So, man's wisdom, let's everybody stay home and stay 6 feet apart and wear a mask. What about shots? We already talked about the vaccination. Influenza vaccine of 2017 and 18 increased risk of coronavirus infection by 36%. Well, how could that be? Because we're using man's wisdom. And all of these things in man's wisdom are focused on the germ. And we've talked about this over and over and over, germ theory versus terrain theory. I don't hear anybody talking about the host. That would be us. How do you strengthen the host? This is all about host defenses and strengthening the host 100%. This should not be about the germ at all, and that's all we're hearing. And if you look at it through those goggles, even if you're the top dog immunologist of the country, then you're going to come up with things like this, mask and social distancing and quarantining the healthy and vaccines instead of true immunity. Let's look at the original intent and design and focus on the host. So if I could hear anyone, please, in the public arena and in the powers that be that control the media and the taglines coming out and control the decisions. And I know the mayor and the city council and even the governor and his people. I mean, you know, Charles Perry here, our local state congressman, he's the vice president of the health board in Austin. But all these guys are going to turn to their doctors. And there's still doctors here, even at Tech, that get quoted in the paper. Vaccines don't cause autism. What? Robert Kennedy did a press conference a year ago, and there's still $100,000 check sitting out there ready for anyone to take it. He showed 90 studies that already show that. The government's paid out $1.7 million to Hannah Pauling's dad, who's a doctor at Johns Hopkins, and Hannah Pauling was in a study looking at normal development of children. And during the study, she regressed into autism from the MMR vaccine. The government agreed and paid Dr. Pauling $1 million. This is all documented, so there's no question vaccines injure. But my point is, and I'm not going to go off on the vaccines anymore, antibiotic resistance, ineffectiveness of vaccines, because we're focused on the germ. Plain and simple, focused on the germ. I remind everyone, measles and whooping cough death rates dropped 99% prior to the vaccine. How? Because we didn't focus on the germ then. We focused on the terrain. We cleaned up sanitation, nutrition, and just simple, basic sanitary techniques in these big cities where the outbreaks were. Plain and simple. Let's focus on the host. So, in light of that, when you think about a host, and since it's first Mondays with Morla, we've got to talk about making energy and clearing exhaust. How does that white blood cell know how does those border patrol agents that line your airway know to go in there and gobble up this virus and then to make a true antibody to it and have lifelong immunity? How does it know to do that? Well, it's amazing. It's intelligently designed, but then it's got these mechanisms in place that just need to function. They have to function normally, and all these functions need energy. So let's start right there. How do we make energy? And that Hannah Pollen case I referenced, the government had a little asterisk on, yeah, the vaccine injured Hannah, and we're going to pay you over $1 million because of it. But their asterisk was, she was predisposed to injury by the vaccine because she had mitochondrial dysfunction. AKA, let me translate, she couldn't make enough energy and clear the exhaust. So let's look at the number one biggest disruptors of energy production at the cellular level and clearing the exhaust or dealing with the toxins. So that's why we have Morley on every first Monday to drive this point home. If everybody could understand this and implement it, we'd be a lot better off, including Dr. Fauci himself. So Morley, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That was a great overview and great introduction to the topic.
Well, I know you've got more to say with energy and exhaust. You know, we've said a lot in all these shows we've done, but you keep sending me more articles, so you keep finding more stuff.
I know. I keep scratching the research coffers, and they keep revealing deeper and deeper truths. So, a couple of thoughts to set the stage for the conversation. I've always thought that the world's worst crime is that babies grow dull. I think that's the greatest crime in society. But what's the worst crime of the modern era now? And you've just laid out the exact template for what's happening. But the crime of the modern era is that the social construction of reality, what we deem as correct, has replaced the truth. And your studies about using masks validates the fact that we are being programmed to believe something even though it's not factually correct. It's an important thing for people to understand is that we've lost our true north about what is truth. We don't know what truth is anymore because missing information equals missing truth. And I think if I were to encapsulate a lot of the research that I've done, it's to reveal that because the research has been missing information about minerals, we're missing the truth of how the body really works. And the minerals, obviously, that we've discussed the most are obviously magnesium and copper. But I think the one that really comes to the forefront is copper, because of its preeminent role in creating energy. And there's some amazing studies out there. And what I really want to focus on is not just making energy, but how dependent the mitochondria are on copper. That these little organelles that we've been told are, we have this mistaken belief that there's one per cell. We know that's not true. And what is beginning to reveal itself in the research is this whole field that's called immunometabolism. And like, what did you say? Immunometabolism is the interface between our immune system and our mitochondrial health. And it turns out that our immune system absolutely is dependent upon energy, every facet of it. There are millions and millions and millions of cells that are the defenders, as you're referring to them. But let me reveal one more quote before I get into some interesting information. This is by a Dr. Douglas Wallace, who's a world-renowned geneticist and pediatrician at CHOP, the Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania. And this is one of his signature articles from 2005, where he's talking about a mitochondrial paradigm of metabolic and degenerative diseases. So picking up the trail that you set with that poor child that was vaccinated and was injured, but she couldn't produce energy. This is the first sentence in this article that absolutely caught my eye. Life is the interplay between structure and energy. Well, that's a very clever way of saying E equals MC squared. He's picking up Einstein's theory of relativity. Life is the interplay between structure and energy, yet the role of energy deficiency in human disease has been poorly explored by modern medicine. And that's his whole thesis, is that we have this blind spot about what's really causing all these different disorders. And what I'd like to do is just pull the curtain back on three different conditions to reveal what's really going on. We have Parkinson's disease, a condition that I'm not sure how many millions of Americans have it, but it's significant. Next to Alzheimer's, it's the second greatest cause of neurodegeneration. So we have Parkinson's disease, seizures, and COVID-19. And what do they all have in common? Lack of energy. So let me take a deep dive real quick into what's behind my assertion that it's a lack of energy. Well, it turns out that there's a part of the brain called the substantia nigra. It's a very important part of the brain that controls our fine motor skills. And so the people who have Parkinson's lose that fine motor skill and their hands shake. And it may be a resting tremor or it may be an intention tremor, depending upon what part of the brain is affected. But what's important to know is that the substantia nigra has under 1 million cells, but each of those cells has 2 million mitochondria. So this is incredibly energy-rich section of the brain. And so, round numbers, the substantia nigra has 1.6 trillion mitochondria in that tissue. It's the greatest concentration of mitochondria in the body. And what's important, and I sent this study to Dr. Ben yesterday, is that there's a 66% loss of these cells in the substantia nigra. So two-thirds loss of tissue. Well, why do cells die? Well, again, what we've talked about, and Dr. Ben used this as an intro to this discussion, is we've got to create energy and clear exhaust. Well, if we can't create energy because we lack the critical mineral called copper to make the mitochondria work right, it's going to create more exhaust. And how do cells die? Because there's a buildup of exhaust. That's an established scientific fact. And so a million mitochondria are lost on average in someone who has Parkinson's disease. So this is a very notable condition that is directly connected to energy production or the lack thereof in the research. There's this collapse in the ability to make energy, and then that leads to the tremor disorder, which then begs the question, where's the disease? There is no disease. It's a lack of copper, and there are many studies that are very direct to reveal that. Then what got me all worked up into a lather this morning is a study that I came across that was talking about the inborn errors of metabolism that cause seizures. And this has always been an area of fascination for me because many of my clients have this condition. And I've known it to be, again, a function of missing minerals, but I had never connected it back to the metabolism and the mitochondria. Well, Sharma, 2017, talking about the role of mitochondria, and what he reveals is a whole series of causes of seizure disorders, and with precision, he's revealing the fact that there's energy disorders attached to every one of them. But again, the average practitioner, and certainly the average person reading a scientific article like this, wouldn't immediately understand that, oh, if there's an energy crisis, there must be a copper prices. But what is revealed in the article is how a lot of these conditions are connected with children who are premature. And that becomes a critical building block for understanding what's taking place. So Wade, Dr. Ben, and I all have adult livers that have about 7 milligrams of copper. That's the average amount of copper in an adult male liver. Well, when we were born, we each were born, assuming everything went according to plan, our livers prior to birth had 70 milligrams of copper. That's an enormous bolus of copper that the liver was supposed to get. And then as we developed in the first couple of years, that copper gets distributed around the body, not the least of which is the brain. Very important transfer of copper needs to go to the brain for the developing child. Well, where's all this copper coming from for the newborn baby? It's coming from mom. And in the last trimester of the pregnancy, all mammals, not just humans, all mammals on the planet must download copper from mother to the fetus's liver because they use that copper for their immune system and then subsequently for populating copper in the various organs that need it. But children who are premature are typically born either right before the third trimester or at the start of the third trimester. Why does this premature birth happen? Because the body's really smart and knows it doesn't have the copper for the download. And so the birth is accelerated, but the child is born, like my aunt, who was, I think she was 14 weeks premature, and she struggled with many different conditions, not the least of which was kidney disease later in her life, and it eventually took her life when she was in her early 80s. She had one half of one kidney, and eventually she wasn't able to sustain life. But the point is, that meant that her mom didn't do the download. My grandmother was a very sickly woman, and my aunt was the third child of three children. So the point being, there isn't the download of copper, and then we have these children who are born prematurely who are prone to seizures. Why? Because they can't fire up the mitochondria, especially in a very important region of the brain, and that there's a crisis. And so seizures are attributable to this energy crisis. Well, then let's come to the immune system. Immune system is absolutely amazing. And if there's been any shining light for me personally because of this COVID crisis, is I've taken a very deep dive into what is the immune system. And I really have a much better working knowledge of the different parts. And we don't need to go into all that detail now. But I think it's important for people to know that, as you were stressing at the outset of this conversation, who's talking about the host? Who's talking about how do we strengthen the host? Precious few people on this planet. All of the spotlights, all of the optics, all of the attention is on the booga-wooga bug, whatever it is. We still don't know. But, you know, they're still arguing about what caused the Spanish flu, and that was 100 years ago. Do you think we're going to be any clearer in a year or two about this? I don't think so. So there's a lot of cloudiness surrounding this condition, whatever it is. But what we do know is that there are a number of people who have succumbed to it, and what do they all have in common? The inability to make energy. Well, how can I make that assertion? Well, people over 80, people over 50 with one chronic condition, people over 30 with two chronic conditions, and people who have lung disorders, especially lung cancer, are notably vulnerable to this condition. Well, all of those conditions, when you begin to pull back the curtain and really start to study what's driving those conditions, it's an energy breakdown in critical tissues that are supposed to be making energy. And because they cannot make energy, they make exhaust. And that exhaust is called reactive oxygen species, or we call it oxidative stress, or we call it free radicals. it's all the same thing, is the inability to make the energy because we can't activate the oxygen in our mitochondria, it immediately becomes exhaust. And that exhaust builds up in the cells and in the mitochondria, and eventually the buildup of exhaust kills the mitochondria and then subsequently kills the cell. And so in a situation with an attack like COVID-19, people should be aware, people should be trained that there are very concrete steps that we can all take to strengthen our host, to strengthen our immune system. And the most important part of the immune system are called the T cells. And they come in various flavors and forms. But I've now got 5 different articles that talk about the central role that the mitochondria and energy play in not just the actions of the T cells, but the intelligence of the T cell. There's a lot of thought that needs to go into being a T cell, because you got to know, am I going to be a TH1? Am I going to be TH2? Am I going to be TH17? Where am I? Am I going to go into a regulatory state or a helper state? It's absolutely fascinating what they know about it in terms of the ability to become diverse types of cells. But the one thing that they're all missing is the central fact of the matter is, if these mitochondria that are running the T cells don't have bioavailable copper, they can't make energy. And that's the missing key for all of these conditions. Parkinson's, seizures, and COVID-19 are all directly connected to the failure of the mitochondria in different tissue around the body to produce the life-affirming energy that keeps us going. And again, Dr. Wallace knows what the problem is. We have an energy deficiency problem. And what I find fascinating, and Dr. Ben and I have talked about this, what's the yardstick in medicine, regardless of what discipline, whether we're talking allopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, osteopathic, what's the yardstick in medicine for measuring energy in the human body? There isn't one. It doesn't exist. And that's, you know, part of the genius of Jerry Tennant down in Dallas is he's figured out that that's the problem. He knows that we need more energy. Healing is voltage. That's the title of his book. It's a wonderful book that begins to reveal the truth of how the body communicates and how the body works. But I'm not even sure Dr. Tennant has a full understanding of the minerals or the central role that copper plays, especially inside the mitochondria, especially inside complex 4 and complex 5. And if those two complexes don't have copper, good night, Irene. The mitochondria can't make energy. And the mitochondria begins to shut down. And what does the mitochondria do? It regulates a lot of things. It's not just making energy, but what the mitochondria is also in charge of is dictating the cell cycle, and it's also in charge of dictating when that cell is going to be taken offline. Now, the question that's driving me crazy is, let's go back to the substantia nigra. 2 million mitochondria. That's a lot of energy powerhouses that have got to be kept track of. That would suggest there's got to be some degree of order. They don't just fire without some kind of rhythm, without some kind of orchestration of effort. And what is completely missing in the literature, and maybe Dr. Ben, maybe you know what it is, but who is the governor that's regulating the activity of the mitochondria? I think we can all agree there's a supreme being. I absolutely understand and accept that. That's a core part of my existence. But when we get down to a cellular level, is it the divine being that's controlling 2 million mitochondria per cell? I don't know. I find it fascinating that there's absolute silence in the literature about it. And I think it's one of the most important questions is like, what happens to keeping, how do you keep order amongst 2 million mitochondria in one cell? There's got to be some drumbeat there, wouldn't you think? And I find it fascinating that we now have a glimpse into all of these different chronic diseases that people are struggling with, and it's all converging back to one function, an inability of the mitochondria to have the copper that they need in order to activate the oxygen to create energy. And where is this copper? It's missing in the soil, it's missing in the plant, it's missing in the animals, and therefore it's missing in the human. And we've talked about that on numerous occasions. So I think people just need to understand that there's a very direct mechanism that's causing a weakness in our immune system, which is causing fear in people not thinking that they can withstand whatever the blow might be from an infection. But our maker and Mother Nature designed us to have an incredibly resilient, incredibly responsive immune system that is dependent upon minerals, but especially dependent upon copper's unique ability to harness oxygen so that we make energy and we're able to clear that exhaust properly and completely. So,
amen. And when we get back from the break, we'll talk about that some more. And I want to bring in also when we get back from the break, when the copper is, when you start to remineralize and you start to get this bioavailable copper back, how important it is to keep it functional. And we'll also talk about, like we've talked in the past, some you can measure some copper levels, and some more integrative doctors do and say, wait, there's copper toxicity. So there's this concept of this copper has to be in the proper form and in the proper place to be able to function. So we'll talk about that too when we get back. So stick with us. Ben Edwards with You're the Cure. Morley Robbins is here with us. His website's rcp123.org. Thanks for being with us. We will be right back.
Welcome in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. And, of course, Morley Robbins here on the show with us today as well. Right back at it.
Yes, sir. We're talking host versus germ or toxin. Don't worry about the germ and toxin. Worry about the host. Make some energy, clear some exhaust. You'll be fine. Get out in the sun, go enjoy yourself at Buffalo Springs Lake. That was so crazy when I saw that. Just a little tiny side note, just to remind everybody, polio, 95% of people, if you lined up 100 people right now and gave them the polio virus, 95 of them would be totally fine and not know they even had it. 95 out of 100.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So what about the other 5 out of 100? Well, 4 of those other 5 would have a little bit of malaise, a little fatigue and achy and just, you know, a little sick. What about the 1 that's left over? Well, that 1%, most of those will have a little bit of, well, they'll have paralysis for a day or two, and then it goes away in the vast majority after a couple of days.
Wow.
On top of that, they found 7 different viruses that can cause this exact same clinical scenario. So there's no way to know the difference between one or the other, meaning it's not just one virus. There are toxins like DDT that correlate. When you graph DDT's usage back in the 50s to the polio outbreaks, it matches. The very first paralysis identified in the medical literature, they actually called it infantile paralysis, not polio. And what some very astute researchers pieced together was these infantile paralysis outbreaks around the world. And they found some doctors' notes were describing it as teething paralysis. And they started to piece together all these kiddos that were having this temporary paralysis were all using the same new teething ointment. And this was, you know, way back in the 1800s. And this new teething ointment, guess what it had in it? Lead arsenic. Known to damage the anterior horn of the ventral, the same area that of the spinal cord that gets affected by the polio virus.
Whoa.
So toxins can do it. Multiple different germs can do it. 95% of the people who get the one polio virus that is in the vaccine won't even know they have it. The 4% will have a little bit of a sick, just achy. My point is, and it's the same with so many of these things. I mean, and to put your hope and trust and faith in these germ-focused, germ-chasing, I mean, the flu. The CDC sets up testing centers all over this country every winter to test people that have flu-like symptoms, achy, high fever, cough, runny nose, sore throat. So these testing centers all over the country, they test a bunch of people consistently. Go back on CDC's website and look. Consistently, of all the people that go into these testing centers every year to get tested for flu because they have these symptoms, 15% test positive for influenza. 85% of these people have another virus. Coronavirus, rhinovirus, adenovirus, RSV. I mean, the point is the same symptoms can come from multiple different sources. So how can you put all your hope and faith in one vaccine against one virus when, I mean, this is why the flu vaccine we've talked about before, the data on it, Cochrane Review Board, independent review board that looks at all the flu shot data, influenza vaccination data, every time they come back with the same conclusion. It's a wash, doesn't really work, doesn't prevent hospitalizations, doesn't prevent complications like pneumonia, no proof that it, healthcare transmission, giving it to healthcare workers, forcing these nurses to take it, no proof that that helps. It's just across the board. And this is why, because mostly it's not the germ that's the issue. It's the host defenses that are the issue. So,
yeah. So let's go back into that teething ointment that was lead. What was it, lead?
Lead arsenic, I believe. That was in the book Moth in an Iron Lung. And Tom Cowan talks about in his books on autoimmunity and vaccine.
Okay. So arsenic's a great way to shut down the complex four of the mitochondria. But, so then there's multiple factors in play. But what's also important is that 1% that responded or was mildly paralyzed.
Temporary paralysis, yeah.
Temporary paralysis. And whatever was in that teething ointment caused an increase in oxidative stress,
mm-hmm.
and that 1% didn't have the natural capacity in their immune system to neutralize it. What we have to do is make sure people realize that, well, it's not just the 1% who gets, they just succumb to it. It's that they lack the natural mechanisms to deal with that kind of event.
Yeah.
We need to drive that home that it is a host response issue responding to clearly a toxin, a threat, but our innate immune system should be able to slice and dice it if we have proper mineral balance and proper mineral saturation.
That's a great point, Morley, and I want to drive that home again. Anytime anyone hears any headline that so-and-so got sick or your neighbor got sick or anybody got sick or any death rate, automatically first response in your mind should be, I wonder what was wrong with their natural defenses, their natural ability to mount a response, and how can I ensure that my natural ability is optimized? Not let's put on a mask and wait for a vaccine and go isolate and stay out of the lake. I mean, come on. That is not – what kind of response is that? That's man's wisdom.
What people need to understand is that what's really going on right now is this push to try to solve this global crisis is being assigned to a pill that comes at a price tag of $1,000 a pill and or a vaccine that's going to cost billions and billions of dollars, when in fact hydroxychloroquine, which is also known as quinine, has been used for decades, probably close to a century in India, as an anti-malarial. But what's the problem with that? It costs 5 cents a tablet to make. There's no money in a solution for big pharma in this crisis. And what they're doing is creating a tsunami of focus around the pathogen so that people are desperate for any kind of solution because they don't know that it's their body that they can naturally strengthen. There's no discussion about it, except this radio show may be one of the lone beacons of hope for humanity. And people don't realize that the alternatives that are being proposed are outrageously expensive to feed the coffers of the pharmaceutical system.
Yeah, remdesivir, I think that's how you pronounce it, this new drug that's in the headlines, made by Gilead, promoted as the cure for COVID-19. China holds a patent on this drug through an agreement with Gilead's drug patent sharing subsidiary branch called Unitaid, who has an office near Wuhan, by the way. The main financial investor of Unitaid is George Soros, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the WHO. Those are the main investors in that drug. It's crazy. And the trail I've been running down, we don't probably need to get into. We'll get into it on another show. But, man, corruption all over
right.
the place.
Right.
And unfortunately, the man on the street who doesn't know any better, and your general mayors and governors and everybody's, you know, just listening to the higher powers that supposedly know it all, and we have to trust them. Well, let's step back and look at our overall health outcomes. Why are we going to trust right. organizations that produce recommendations that produce the sickest kids in the world? 52% of American kids with one of the top 20 chronic diseases. That was a survey of 90,000 kids in 2011. So I'm sure it's worse than that now. We have sick kids. We have sick adults. We're the sickest industrialized country. Who's given us all these recommendations? When did we get so far off base? It's when we started doing more and more man wisdom, when we started going more and more down the germ theory and gene theory route. And that's why we need to get back ancestrally. Remind everybody of Weston A. Price, 1920s, 1930s, resistance and resiliency to tuberculosis. Villages that didn't have any tuberculosis, they were eating ancestral foods. Villages right down the road with the same genetic makeup dying from tuberculosis and succumbing to other chronic disease because they ate modern food. Modern food was mostly back then enriched flour and sugar, devoid of the fat-soluble vitamins found in animal fats and devoid of the good minerals. So that's number one, is the diet. We've got to consume ancestral foods, especially the animal fats, because that's where retinol's at, the natural form of vitamin A. There's no retinol in plants. There's beta carotene, but we need retinol. I'm not saying plants are bad, but you better have a whole lot of real raw butter on there and chase it down with a whole lot of good liver pate and grass-fed roast beef. But that's number one, Morley. We're going to get to copper, bioavailable copper. So dietarily, organ meats, whole food vitamin C, bioavailable copper. I think we've talked about that a lot, and if you want to comment, you can. But I wanted to go also to what kicks it out of the ceruloplasm. Morley keeps talking about this copper thing when it's not there. Yeah, dietarily it's not there, but also it's not there because fear will kick it out. But what are the things that will cause copper to not be bioavailable, cause it to get kicked out? And remember, everybody, I'm sure we're going to talk about this word, ceruloplasm. And that's a protein, like a Swiss Army knife. Remember the Swiss Army knife that has 50 different tools in it, but imagine all those tools closed and non-functional versus all those tools open and available. That is what copper does. When you put copper into the mix, it causes this protein to become functional and available to work and do what it does. So, Morley.
And the need for intelligence to know which of those tools do I need now.
Yep.
I think what I've come to learn in the last few weeks is that there's energy behind intelligence. I'd never thought of it that way. And at some level, it makes perfect sense. It's sort of a penetrating look into the obvious, but it's in the literature. There's a clear connection between the capacity to make energy and the ability to have intelligence and rational thought and being a critical thinker. Well, our immune system is engaged in critical thinking 24/7, and people need to understand that.
Yeah. Well, what are the things that will kick copper out of the Swiss Army knife?
Sugar. All forms of sugar will affect copper status, but certainly high fructose corn syrup, or now it's called corn sugars, That would be one of the greatest offenders. Alcohol in general will ultimately lead to a loss of copper. Again, that's the downside. A lot of people are succumbing to the spirits because they're bored or frustrated or whatever. So that's a definite issue. The refined foods don't have it. You know, our ancestors used to use whole wheat flour, again, from wheat that was 4 feet high, and now we use refined flour from wheat that's 18 inches high. So it's a very different source of nutrients in the modern wheat. And, of course, modern wheat is also sprayed with glyphosate, Roundup, which I know you all are very familiar with, and that is used as a drying agent to accelerate the process of getting the wheat to the plant or to the industrial plant to make the food. So we got to be very careful of that. Then we have things like over-the-counter pain meds. All the NSAIDs cause copper depletion. That's an important thing to know. The Tylenol, the ibuprofen, acetaminophen, those are all very, I guess acetaminophen is Tylenol. But all of those chemical pain relievers are very destructive to copper status. Then it's also important to know that the modern antibiotics today, especially like the fluoroquinolone, like Cipro, have a very recognized ability to deplete copper in the tissue. Anesthesias have a similar effect. So there's a lot of threats out there. Pain medication, another factor. Anti-anxiety medication. So there are a lot of chemical agents out there that people have to be careful of. But the biggest threat is probably just in the diet alone, is needing to know that you're far better off eating an ancestral diet, eating organ meat, as opposed to muscle meat. That's a big stretch for a lot of people. But making sure that they have... Oh, the other one that's a big threat is synthetic ascorbic acid. It's a recognized agent to shut down ceruloplasmin, as opposed to whole food vitamin C complex, which is got an engine at the core called tyrosinase, which has copper inside it. So we've got to stay away from the synthetic vitamin C's, because when you turn the bottle around, what it will say is ascorbic acid, or it might say sodium ascorbate. Well, either way, it's not the real form of vitamin C that Mother Nature intended. And so there's a lot of agents in our environment that are very threatening to our copper status. And then, as you mentioned, fear is a big one. But just to make sure people understand that when we're under stress, the first mineral to leave the body is magnesium. And on the heels of it are the B vitamins. So those are the first nutrients to leave the body because of stress. They go right into our urine. And under chronic stress, like staying at home for 6 weeks now or 8 weeks, whatever it's been, the liver produces a protein called metallocyanine. And as you might guess, it binds up metals. Well, it binds up copper 1,000 times stronger than it binds up zinc. So for the listeners, think of someone that you know who's twice as strong as you are. We can't imagine someone 1,000 times stronger than we are. But that chemical, metallocyanine, shuts down copper metabolism in our body. And that's why when people are under chronic stress, their energy level goes down. And that's why I love the definition of stress by Mark Hyman, who's at Cleveland Clinic. Stress is the body's inability to make energy for the mind to respond to its environment. And when we're under stress, we need to be able to metabolize that stress. But what happens? When that stress continues, it becomes oxidative stress, and then we are into the crisis of too much exhaust and not enough energy. And that's what we're really trying to do, is bring this down to a very simple equation of we have the ability as individuals, as God-given creation, that we have this innate and natural ability to make energy and to restore the nutrients that allow us to make energy, but they are challenged by stress, the diet that we eat, and just the conditions that we find ourselves in. So it's just being mindful of what really is taking place. It's being able to see the forest for the trees, being able to step back and say, wait a minute, I need to be able to make more energy. And that's really what it's about. And there is a very specific mechanism in our tissue called mitochondria. That's their job, is to make energy. But they really rely especially on copper. And what makes copper bioavailable is the retinol that Dr. Venn keeps talking about. And that allows a whole series of enzymes that are copper dependent to be loaded in the cell and in the mitochondria. And the machinery of our body is designed to run on that copper. And the challenge we face are the many agricultural food processing and pharmaceutical threats to the source of copper. And that's really what's behind the root cause protocol, is to begin to reverse that process so that we begin to have access to the very nutrients that are essential for our cellular and mitochondrial mechanisms to run properly.
Right. That's great. Real quick, Morley, I know we got to end in a minute or two, but since you mentioned the zinc, and because that's in, I hear that on the news, you know, take zinc, azithromycin, hydrochloroquine. But synthetic or long-term zinc administration, the negative impact of that, and synthetic vitamin D, in a real quick one-liner on both those.
Well, the use of the zinc is designed to weaken the pathogen. We have the innate ability to do that ourselves with copper. Again, all the advice to, and again, so we got to understand that zinc is, it's focused on the pathogen, not on the host. It's going to weaken our host. The vitamin D, again, vitamin D has a partner in the body called retinol, called vitamin A. And when you get into the literature and you find out that vitamin A runs circles around vitamin D, that's important to know, and that the real agent of immune function is not storage D, it's active D. Active D absolutely requires magnesium in order to provide its mechanisms for immune function. Well, and what's the most important mechanism to give active D its function? It's called RXR. It's a nuclear receptor that only retinol can make. And so vitamin D is totally dependent on minerals and retinol in order to have its function. But when you just look at the immune function activity of retinol alone, it runs circles around vitamin D.
Well, it's a simple matter of trust the design, trust ancestrally, historically.
Yeah.
How did we overcome these pathogens? We focused on the host, we focused on the terrain, not the bug. And if people want to continue to focus on the germ, they will continue to live in fear and get poor outcomes. There's no need to live in fear. There's no need to get poor outcomes. It's very clear, steward your health, and not only will chronic disease not be an issue, but acute disease will not be an issue. Be in that 95% of polio, people who got polio had zero symptoms. And for that matter, 95% of COVID that has zero symptoms or minimal symptoms. Steward the terrain. Fear will drive this copper out of you, and it will invite the pathogens into you. So fear not. Get the truth in you. Turn off the news. Find reliable sources of more truthful, balanced. Know where your source of information is coming from. That's probably the biggest take home. And unfortunately, there's a lot of censorship.
Right.
YouTube and Facebook. I've gone and looked for some other colleagues of mine who they had stuff out there, and I went back to find it to reference it, and it was gone.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to colleagues across the country. Censorship of certain topics like what we've talked about today is pretty rampant. It's unfortunate. So, Wade, thanks again for having us and hosting us and having an outlet for us. Morley, thank you for joining us. RCP123.org is the Root Cause Protocol, and VeritasMedical.com for our website. We'll do it again next month, hopefully in a more sane world, but probably not.
We'll see.
Thank you, Morley, very much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity to share these thoughts.
You're welcome. Anytime.
You've been listening to You're the Cure right here on AM 580, brought to you by Veritas Medical, veritasmedical.com. Check out the website. We'll be right back with more.